Move to the front. So I thought I'd do something a bit different this year. So often I'm asked to speak on the issues that affect Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women. Instead, I thought I might share some stories of women that have shared their stories with me since I've been working at the ACTU. So I was travelling around with the Wage Justice Campaign, wanting to end the highly punitive community development program, and I come across three women wearing yellow shirts. So they've got a job where they go around in the community and they show family support and make sure that the kids get to school. And I asked them, how much do you get paid to do that work? Do you want to know what their response is? They don't. They get lunch. There are very few jobs in remote communities, and what we actually saw was women that had employment since they were a teenager in the same place turn up to their job to find out they lost it because it was cheaper to put a CDP participant in that role. We know the statistics, we know they're not good, and we've seen consecutive governments with failed policies to benefit not just Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women, but Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in general. And this year, we have a very unique opportunity to actually deliver recognition and a voice enshrined in the Constitution so that we can have input into policies and laws made for us. So if you take anything away with what I am saying, please let it be a big, fat yes. Let us fight and walk together for a better Australia for everyone. Thank you. I'll leave it there.
Thanks, Lara. I'll just say that the First Nations Workers Alliance, which is the trade union group for First Nations folks, have asked the trade union movement to campaign for a yes. So we are very excitedly and enthusiastically backing them in on that. My next speaker up here is Deb James. She's the President of the Victorian Trades Hall Council and the General Secretary of the Independent Education Union.
Thank you so much, Will, and I can't tell you how proud I am to be here today, both as the President and as the Secretary of the Trades Hall and of the Independent Education Union. Let me add my acknowledgement of the traditional owners of the land on which we gather today. I think that's really important to do that all the time and pay my respects to their elders past and present. But in particular today, I want to pay my respects to the nans, the aunties, the sisters, the kids, the babies, the daughters, to all of the women of First Nations people for the fabulous part they play in supporting everybody in First Nations culture. We gather today, it's International Women's Day, but you know, it really should be international, well, it's International Working Women's Day, and that's the way the thing started out. I want to acknowledge the militant struggles of women over the years who came before us. I want to celebrate the wins we've had, and importantly, to get us to continue to commit to the fight for equality, fairness, and safety for every working woman. Indeed, every woman, everywhere. We remember the tailoresses who went on strike back in the 1880s. First strike, huge stoush, and they walked off the job, were on strike, hundreds of them, in order to lift up rates of pay for them. There'd been an 8-hour day had been delivered some 30 years before, but these women weren't getting an 8-hour day. They were having to take their work home and do it at night in order to earn enough money. We remember as well the fabulous unionists and women who actually chain themselves to buildings in order to fight for pay equity and pay equality for working women. The fabulous Zelda DiPrano, we're hoping that there'll be a proper tribute to Zelda DiPrano very soon, a woman who really fought for equal pay for women. Although, let's fast forward to now. Last year, just in the past 12 months, there have been a lot of wins for working women, and we should celebrate those wins. Paid family and domestic violence leave as a universal working right, come on. Paid parental leave moving from 20 weeks to 26 weeks, yes. Stronger equal pay laws and gender equality as an object of our workplace laws. Access to multi-employer bargaining, which will provide much more capacity to get agreements in female-dominated workplaces, like in aged care and in childcare. This is a really important thing for us to have won. Stronger rights to flexible work and avenues to appeal it if it isn't actually reasonably approved. And these things are vitally important. But one really important thing is our world-leading campaign to eradicate gendered violence at work. 60% of women have experienced gendered violence or sexual harassment and feel unsafe and vulnerable at work. And this is a shame. And it has got to stop, and we've got to say no. It must end. We've got to educate the community, train workers, train delegates, train HSRs, have more women leaders, more people in power, ensuring that this happens. We've got to remove the tools that employers rely on to cover their tracks, to cover up the gendered violence at work. The kind of thing that we know employers are doing day in, day out, more concerned about their own business and their own reputation than treating women fairly. We're stepping up the campaign to stop the misuse of non-disclosure agreements. You must all know people or have heard of people who've had to sign an NDA just to shut up, go away, take this money and don't tell anybody. And this is an outrage. We can't be silenced on this stuff anymore. These laws have got to change, and we need much more protection in the space. They've silenced victim survivors. They've allowed employers to cover up repeated instances of gendered violence at work, prevented unions organising around the repeated incidents of gendered violence at work. So the Victorian government have accepted in principle the recommendation of the Ministerial Task Force, and we are going to pursue it with them. They've committed to the ongoing work, and we are going to hold them to account for that ongoing work. We are not going to let it drop. It must happen, and it must happen now. No more, not on our watch, it has to go. And maybe next year we'll be standing here and saying the reduction in women being harassed at work and the numbers of women experiencing sexual harassment and gendered violence at work have really dropped. We've got to commit to doing that. The voices of the survivors should not be silenced. We shouldn't be prevented from speaking to police or carers or health authorities or regulatory authorities. We've got to get laws in place that protect women at work. So look, I can see by the faces of every single woman and comrade in front of me that you support this, you want this, you'll fight for it, and you will help us achieve that. Happy International Women's Day, sisters and comrades. Good luck for the fight.
So what do we say? End the silence.
Let us speak.
End the silence.
Let us speak.
End the silence.
Let us speak.
All right. Now our next speaker is Azee Davochi, and I apologise if I haven't pronounced that quite right. She's a feminist researcher and writer, and she's been involved with the women's rights campaigns both inside and outside of Iran.
I begin today by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land which we are gathering here and pay my respects to the elders past and present. Women, life, freedom is a slogan that has shaped recent social political movement in Iran. This movement gained public attention after the death in custody of Jina Mahsa Amini, a young Kurdish Iranian woman killed by the regime's morality police. Since then, this women-led movement has gained support nationally and globally, becoming one of the most significant feminist movements in the region. In this movement, we fight for freedom, democracy, social justice, women's rights, and gender equality. For the past 43 years, the authoritarian regime in Iran has systematically oppressed women's voices, freedom of choice, and equal rights. A few examples of oppression against women are mandatory hijab, the rights for divorce, child custody, abortion, and leaving the country independently, and the list is still going on. Today, women from all ethnic groups and backgrounds have united and taken to the streets to fight for their rights. Unfortunately, as a result, many have been killed, imprisoned, tortured, raped, and shot in their faces, and Gentiles. Our students, our high school students, our primary school students and universities, they are attacked by chemical gas. As we stand here on International Women's Day to unite with Australian women and women worldwide, our sisters in Iran are still fighting for their rights. Iranian women have realized that they cannot achieve freedom, social justice, and equality without overthrowing the dictator's regime. The movement, which started 6 months ago, is still evolving. We are standing here to say the Iranian women need support from international community. As a group of Iranian activists, we urge the political leaders to listen to us and stop supporting our oppressors. We also call upon international community to show their solidarity with women, life, freedom movement, which will create a brighter future, not only for Iran, but the whole world. Women, life, freedom.
Women, life, freedom. Women, life, freedom. Women, life, freedom.
Women, life, freedom.
Women, life, freedom.
Women, life, freedom!
Women, life, freedom!
Women, life, freedom! All right. Our next speaker is Lisbeth Latham. Lisbeth is a trans feminist trade union activist and an NTEU organizer. Would you please welcome Lisbeth?
Talk about a tough act to follow. I want to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands in which we meet and pay my respects to their elders past and present. As Will just said, my name's Lisbeth. I'm an organiser of the NTU. I've worked for the NTU for 15 years and I've been out as Lisbeth for 10 of those years in the workplace, which has been a much better experience than before I was out, as it tends to be. I think... Sorry. I'm not used to getting applauded. I'm trying to also keep the 3 minutes and my talk keeps on getting shortened, so it will. I'm going to talk about probably three things. The first is talking about the work that unions are doing around gender affirmation leave. Then I want to talk about the attacks on trans people around the world and how those attacks intersect with the attacks on all women. And then finally, I want to talk about things we can do to get inspired on one of the greatest days of the year, International Women's Day. So, the NTU, but other unions as well, in our bargaining for new enterprise agreements, which set conditions for workers and their pay and other rights, we're trying to get paid gender affirmation leave for transgender and non-binary staff who want to affirm their gender and need time off to do that. It's really important because affirming your gender can make a huge difference in the life of a trans and non-binary person. But we're also seeking leave, special paid leave, because we see it as being consistent with the work that our movement has done for years in identifying individual sections of workers who have particular needs, and so therefore we claim separate leave for them. We've heard about it already tonight about some of the other areas of leave that the movement has won, both historically but in the last year as well. We're trying to do this in a period where the rights of trans people are pushing forward. We're more visible. There's more people who feel comfortable in identifying being trans and coming out. But at the same time, that those wins are seeing a backlash because conservative forces see not just that that's a threat, but they see trans people as an easy target who can be picked off and then they can move on to other parts of the movement and our community. And so what I really want to say is that when people say trans rights are somehow in conflict with the rights of women, that's just not true. Oh, yeah. The advancing of the rights of trans people advances everyone's rights. But more importantly, when you try to hold back the rights of trans people, you hold back the rights of other people, particularly women. And we're seeing that all over the world. So when we have people trying to restrict access of trans women or police access of trans women to toilets, but women look so different. We can see it tonight. No one looks like a single thing. And so there are just so many women who are going to get harassed because they don't look like a woman. We're also seeing it around the attempts to restrict the right of trans people to access medical affirmation treatment. And while that's a huge, a terrible thing for trans people, it's completely tied with the attack on reproductive rights for all people, and particularly abortion rights. And we're seeing that in the US, where at the same time as they're limiting access to treatment for trans people, they're trying to criminalise access to abortion and criminalise having a miscarriage, which is the most obscene thing. So it's terrible. But we are winning. And by standing together and being clear in the words of the industrial workers of the world, an injury to one is an injury to all, and we are going to fight any attack. That happens on any part of our community. Finally, this is great. There's stacks of people here in NAMM tonight, but if you really want to be impressed, it's my favourite part of IWD every year. Go on social media, do a search for the hashtags 8M, 8Mars, 8Marzo, and you'll see photos and videos from all around the world of tens, hundreds of thousands of women standing together saying, we want a world free of violence, whether that's in the home, on the street, in our workplace, or from authoritarian regimes. And we want a world where we can control our reproductive rights and have autonomy over our bodies. Thank you very much. If you're going to Peaches and Bikini Kill, have a great time.
And our last speaker here is Ashley Wyatt. Ashley is an early childhood educator and a very proud member of the United Workers Union.
Thank you for having me. I'd like to start with acknowledging the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people that we're all on and that I am lucky enough to teach and play on. I'm a little bit disorganised. I thought I'd get some time off the floor today, which is obviously silly of me to think that was possible. Yeah, the early childhood educators know. So I have been working in this sector for over 10 years, and how I feel and how we feel across the sector is used. COVID highlighted both how much our sector is needed for society to move on and how mistreated early childhood educators are. And now, educators are leaving in droves. The government has been rolling out all these new wonderful programs for parents, but I'm wondering who is going to deliver them if everyone's leaving the sector. It's impossible to hire staff at the moment. Who wants a job that is so physically and mentally taxing only to be paid one of the lowest rates in Australia? Yeah. The sector has run on goodwill for too long. We've had enough. Last year, United Workers Union and Big Steps campaign shut down the sector, and now representatives have been meeting with the government to ask for to demand a 25% pay increase, government funded. We want to be safe, respected and equal. Enough treating care and education professionals like dirt. We know that feminised industries are not taken seriously, and we are beyond sick of it. Care and education are real skills. Early childhood educators are professionals, and we deserve more. We deserved more a long time ago. And if anyone has any doubts about the skill required to do our job, I formally invite you to spend one day in my kinder room. Thank you very much. Happy International Women's Day.
And right there you can see how Ash closed down three early childhood education centres as part of the stop work last year. All right, that ends the speeches here. We're going to go for a bit of a walk now because we like walking through the city. So we're going to walk down that way. We're going to walk up along and then...